the HTB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Welcome to the HTB Potatoes podcast. This episode is a bit different than what we usually do. We won't focus on any technical aspects of what growing potatoes involves. In this episode, we are discussing mental health and ways to keep positive throughout the challenges you're facing. In the first part of this episode, we will speak to Jim Reid, our Scotland host, who will talk about overcoming challenges in the potato sector, life on a family farm, and taking on the mantle of spot host. In the second part, we will speak to Max Granger from RSABI, who will talk about the isolation of farming and ways to overcome this issue. Jim, thank you for joining me today. And today it's a bit of a different one to what we normally do. We're often talking about the technical challenges of farming. But today, I just wanted to kind of open up a conversation more about mental resilience and how do you remain positive through such hard times. And I suppose from a personal point of view, COVID's brought such different ways of working, and your approach to kind of always finding new opportunities and looking positively and working together has been really quite inspiring, and I've enjoyed that so much. I thought it would be a nice opportunity to do a podcast about what can farmers do to get through hard times, how do you see the positive in things, and then got an interview with Max Grange from RSABI, who's going to talk about where support is out there for people if they need it, and also about this mental resilience and how to stay strong and positive. So we're doing something different today, and I'm going to ask you some questions more about the background of how you got into farming and the farming business. So can you tell me a bit about your path?
Well, grandparents and parents have been farmers all their days. When it came time for me to leave school, I was actually trained as an auctioneer at a livestock market. I had the choice to go to college or go to livestock market, and frankly I was fed up with academia and I learned so much. I wouldn't have swapped the 4 years I was an auctioneer, because I think it's important to, I think that's a lot to do with my attitude, is you see the other side of the fence, so that you're dealing, I was dealing with customers all the time, and through the 4 years I learned so much. I used to buy a lot of deadweight cattle. That was one of my roles in the third and fourth year I was there, was going on farm and buying cattle to go direct to slaughterhouses. And at that time, when there was a subsidy, if a cow bullock had a torn ear, it had to be registered. They didn't get the sub. And so happened that there was cattle going away on a Sunday rather than a Monday. And I offered to go down to the farmer and help him load the cattle. But he said, no, we'll manage. And one got his ear torn. And he went absolutely mental when the thing came back and he did the get. It was 70 quid or something like that. And, you know, it wasn't my fault, but he came up to the market and had a meeting with the manager, and then I got fingered in after he went away. I was probably only 18 years old. And he said, you remember one thing in this job, the customer is always right, even when he's wrong. And, I think that's been my attitude. I always think about the potatoes that we are producing to go to other growers. It's important that they come back the next year. You know, it's not rocket science. I think this year, in the mowing that we had with that little bit of PVYN, it was so noticeable that the tubers that those plants produced had that monkey faces. And, you know, if there's too much of that, you know, it's a write-off. You know, those tubers were used for nothing. And now that everything's changed, now that there's no dual-purpose crops, or it's only a seed crop or a wear crop, we've got to get that right. You know, it's so that I think it's all, that's the challenge, and that's what keeps me going, because we're dealing with different weather, we've lost so much chemistry that we're just starting to learn to live without, I think. And I feel quite positive about the future.
And so you did 4 years at the auction market.
Yeah.
Does that straight back home after that?
One of the farmers that I dealt with a lot, said that you spend so much time here, you better come and work for me. So after a bit of prodding, I did. And where I cut my teeth at Redcastle Farms at Inverkiller. There was 2,000 acres, arable acres. We fed over 2,000 cattle a year. And, you know, I was young and daft. So there was a lot of work, and but I really enjoyed it. When Jack died, he was 75 or 76 or something like that. It was just time to come back home at that point. It just sort of all fell together. So, you know, I had 11 years, if you like, away from the family farm, and definitely learnt a lot, made a lot of mistakes. And
you'd advise making the mistakes somewhere else before you bring them back home.
Yeah, and I was always reprimanded for my mistakes, but I always got a pat on the back when I got it right. So now that I think that I wouldn't have swapped that. I think I've probably played a little bit of catch up with the academia since then, but I haven't actually done my basis exam yet, but I've studied for it. The COVID kind of knocked that on the head a wee bit, but you know, I'm only doing it for my own good. In turn, I've learned a lot about the potato crop as well, how to manage it.
And you've got such a passion for growing potatoes. Was that something that you brought to the family business? Like, how does it work? You obviously farm with your dad and your brother. How do you manage those kind of passions and interests within the business?
I think you'll know yourself, you know, once you get involved with potatoes, it is a bit of a bug. I was old enough, and my next brother, who's actually an oil man, we had to walk behind my grandfather and father and Uncle Gordon carrying bags of blackleg off when we were 8 years old. And my brother, Sandy, that finished him. He said he was never going to be a farmer. Ron, my youngest brother that works with us, he wasn't old enough at that time. But so that's how long I've been at it. It's you know, it's always been in my blood, I think. When my grandfather came from Aberdeenshire down here, he rented a farm. Then he went on to another rented farm. Then they bought a farm up near Drumlithie, Gairdsmuir, and they grew 40 acres of potatoes in one field the year that they bought it. And it was a good year. And, you know, it just the potatoes actually set them up. So, you know, at that point in time, you know, they varied between 20 and 40 acres. It wasn't until I came back that we started to grow more potatoes. And then when McCain came here, you know, that was the growth in our business, really, when McCain came in 1978, I think it was.
Gosh, so that's a long established job. The industry have changed quite a bit. You know, you're very streamlined in how you work with McCain, and you work really closely, don't you? And has that always been a big part of how you developed the business and worked with people out with the kind of family set?
I think that, you know, McCain is a family business, and McCain are different from most other potato merchants, if you like, in that their goal is to have good seed supplied to their customers in the south, so they have good product in the factory, because it's all about the production in the factory. That's the main thing. There's some of their varieties are a challenge to grow. You know, I'd be telling a lie if I didn't say that, but you know, that is the challenge. If you get it right, then you're rewarded for it. And I think, you know, the fact that they're in charge of that. They're in charge from the time it's a stem cutting until it's a home fry in a bag and blast frozen. So, you know, I like that. I like that concept.
Of feeling like you're part of something, isn't it?
Yeah,
kind of,
I think
bigger
so.
Than your own role. You're kind of big part of the whole thing, aren't you? Yeah. And recently we've spoken a bit about, obviously, your dad's on the farm and he's in his 90s. And you mentioned the other day how he still checks that you're doing the job right.
Every now and then.
How does that work? How have you kind of navigated through those kind of conversations and evolved through time of coming back kind of new to the farm?
I think it's just respect, I think. The farmer's his life. So, I respect that. We don't agree about things all the time, that's for sure. But,
I think most people will probably be able to relate with that.
But it definitely keeps him interested, and his mind, you know, he's very active. He's 93, but he's still knows what's going on. That's for sure.
And so I know you've been doing trials for a long time, you know, like your desiccation trials and, you know, it's amazing the work. But kind of when you've come back, you know, especially with taking on the spot farm, you know, these are big things to kind of make public, the work that you're doing and the things that are going on. You know, how does he feel about you being like, oh, we're going to open the doors and get everybody coming through looking at what we're doing? You know, how does that come across? How do you get through those?
I think initially, you know, Father and Ron weren't overly keen, that's for sure, about us doing it, but because I'm doing the lion's share of the work, then now I think they're both more engaged with it. And I think there is a sneaking pride, although he'll never say anything. I think he is happy that we're doing it. And one thing I think, you know, I go on about desiccation and blackleg and all the rest of it, but I think one thing that he's really happy with, that we have been able to do our whole acreage just with the sprayer. And it's only because of the attention to detail that we go into in the application of it. You know, it can be done. It can be done, but it just depends. You know, there's so many huge agribusinesses out there now that, you know, some of them have to flail because they've got so many acres to get over. But at the end of the day, maybe with supermarkets and everything, I can see a change locally here with the small farm shops and everything. Folk would far rather go to these small shops now than most of the supermarket stuff. They're getting it delivered. And while there'll always be a place for the supermarkets, I'd like to think that there maybe will be a revival in some of the high streets with some more produce rather than the way that it's been. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Having that kind of line of communication and interest in what your consumer's interested in is important just now, isn't it? As things become more local.
Yeah. I think with the carbon footprint that we're doing this year through the spot farm again, David Ross chasing just before I came onto this, it makes sense that we're growing stuff here. If we can sell it at the door, you know, the mileage that's on it, that's bound to work. So I can't see a swing to that, because there's so much of the Scottish processing crop goes into England, you know, and I'm sure it would be better if it was, you know, if we saw a more local processing factory. And how that'll evolve, it'll be all down to money at the end of the day.
And so I suppose that really, like, it based around kind of impact of COVID and how it's impacted things, that you've mentioned how you've kind of gone away and started studying, and mm-hmm. you're looking at how consumers have changed. You know, what kind of other differences, you know, learnings have you found through the last 12 months in terms of, you know, you've been amazing, I say inspiring, because, you know, the way you approach stuff and things has been brilliant and you keep people going. But I suppose as well is that, you know, you've embraced, you know, we're doing this over Teams call, you've been doing the webinars and things like that. Like, you know, has there been other differences? You've found other outlets, haven't you, to kind of overcome kind of that isolation and not being able to get to field events and things?
I think as farmers, in that regard, we're lucky, because we're actually pretty isolated all the time anyway. We spend half our life locked in a tractor cab. So, you know, it hasn't been such a huge change. You know, there has been, we don't have, we're meetings and that and what have you. But really, I think Teams is I think we're going to beat this COVID thing. It's going to be a wee while yet, and I think it's going to disappear overnight. And I actually quite enjoy doing it this way, and I think it makes a lot of sense doing it like this. But, you know, I'm maybe not as social a person as some other folk are. I know that there is a lot of folk are missing going out on a Saturday night.
And then, so I'm going to ask a bit as well, because on that is, what other interests for yourself? Like, how do you get away from thinking about potatoes? Because as you say, it's like for us, it's all a bit of an obsession, isn't it? So what do you do to get away from the day job and kind of break free from not having blackleg on the front of mind all the time?
from quite a young age, you know, I was keen on shooting. And I always had a dog or two. And up until the time that I came here, actually, when I started going to a local estate to pick up. And I still pick up the gun now and again, but not very often, to be honest. I really enjoy going away with the dogs and picking up at the shoots, because the role's really important, that because you're picking up game that are, especially if it's wounded, you want it to be dispatched as quickly and humanely as possible. So, you know, that's what I do. And it fits in well with the business, because it's, you know, the shooting season's from sort of September through to the end of January. So that works for me. Meet an awful lot of different people from all over the world at FAS. I get the grand title of being the shoot captain, but it just means I'm the gopher. I line the guns out. But, you know, I've built up, I've made so many new friends completely out with the farming industry. And it's great to see to hear other folks' point of view.
Final question is, what are you looking forward to most out of 2021? Like, what do you see kind of over the next few months? What's the kind of, I suppose there'd be some challenges in there as well, but kind of what are you looking forward to?
I was, you know, I think we were lucky that Eric Anderson from Scottish Agronomy had the foresight to get us into the cover crops that we had in the spot farm field this year. And the results that have come from the Game Conservancy with the predator numbers and everything that were in the strips, the differences that were in the aphid traps, pretty encouraging that, you know, while at the start of the season it was doom and gloom because we were losing all the insecticides to control these vectors, but if we can do it in a more IPM approach, then, you know, it can only be good for everything to do it that way. So I'm looking forward to another season. We've changed things slightly. We'll probably do, rather than a 3-meter strip, because that was the size of our grain seeder, we've a good friend that's has a garden company that has a Kubota and a little machine at the back. So, you know, after understanding how an aphid sees its target, you know, we're going to be doing a bit of straw mulching as a trial. And I would think wherever there's a blank bed in the field, we're going to sow it with a cover crop of some kind. So I'm quite enthusiastic about that. It'll be interesting to see how the virus levels are and the trial stuff that we plant this year. You know, it's always in the back of my mind that, you know, we've got this in front of us, but hopefully, you know, we've learned so much over the years with these trials that, you know, it's always going to be a challenge. It's always going to be a puzzle to solve, because every season's different. So I think that's just what keeps us going.
Keeps you going, a new challenge to try out and bring together everybody as you go, which is the great part of it, isn't it? Well, thank you very much for taking the time to speak to me about kind of how you get through everything. And as I say, it is inspiring and it's always enjoyable to work with you. We're going to speak to Mags Granger, as I say, and she's going to talk to us more about kind of support out there for people as well. So thank you for your time, Jim, and we'll speak to you soon. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, Mags. It's great to speak to you. And as I said, I've spoken to Jim Reid, our strategic farm host in the potato sector for AHDB. And he's given us a great insight into how he stays positive and the challenges in the potato sector. It's brilliant to introduce you from RSABI to talk a bit more about mental health in agriculture and farming. Could you start by telling me a little bit about what RSABI does and also what your role there is?
Yeah, Well, our SCBI kind of holds a unique position within Scotland because we support people from Scottish agriculture and supporting industries to make sure that as they're going through sort of tough times or difficult times, we can help move them forward. We have a range of things that we help with, and we kind of classify them as three things. We have emotional support, and we're all mental health first aid trained. And we have practical support, which can include business reviews, etc. And we also have financial support for those that are having difficulty financially. So yeah, we're quite fortunate in not only in the charity sector, but also in the agricultural sector to be able to offer all three.
And so we are sitting in our offices at home in 2021. The world has changed for all of us around the world. How are you finding that's impacted the farming community, specifically in Scotland?
In terms of COVID, I think initially they were pretty isolated, a lot of the farmers that we deal with anyway. So there probably was almost a wee bit of protection being from the agricultural sector from COVID itself. However, with the length of time it's gone on, the lack of shows, the lack of being able to meet up and chat, I think does have its impact on farmers now. It's certainly lasted a lot longer than any of us imagined it would. So that isolation maybe becomes more sort of negative than maybe the positive it might have been at the beginning.
And so then I suppose as people start to reach out and try and help people around, what can people do to help the community or friends, family around them if they think people are getting down or feeling isolated through this time?
I think the thing that we had a campaign last year which worked really well, and it's keep talking. And I can't emphasise that enough. Keep talking. We do have nowadays the communications, you know, your Zooms, your Teams, your phones, your mobile, and it's just keep talking. And if you haven't heard from somebody for a day or so, just phone them, you know, because often people will just withdraw into themselves. So just because they're not phoning you doesn't mean that they're all right. It could actually mean the very opposite. And again, because of this lack of contact, it's maybe being more aware of the farms around you or the people around you, just to check that everyone looks okay. We can't always tell that somebody is okay, but if you look around the farm and things are maybe not getting done or things are piling up that you would normally expect to see, all of that could be an indication that something maybe isn't going well. And if you can't phone, just maybe nip a note through the door with your phone number, just to encourage them to give you a ring. But it's just being aware. There's lots of indicators that people are maybe not doing well, but the major one to think about is somebody just not themselves. Are they behaving differently? And just to be aware of that, and just take the opportunity to talk. But if you phone somebody, don't be worried about phoning somebody, because at the end of the day, most folk will be grateful for the call, and then you'll know that they're all right, or if they're needing an additional call. There are people even with our SCBI that we call daily. Some we call weekly, some we call monthly, but usually initially it's daily, because often people let themselves get quite low down before they sort of cry out for sort of help.
And then I suppose how do people kind of protect their mental health on a kind of longer standing? How do you know, we're talking about kind of crisis mode and big changes, but, you know, everybody likes being outside. Everybody has, you know, Jim talked about going shooting, his way of kind of meeting different people. I know, obviously, a lot of the avenues that we have tend to be quite streamlined through our work. You hear lots about people baking bread or, you know, kind of changing habits. Is there any kind of trends that you're seeing that in the agriculture community people are changing habits? You know, I don't think many of our farmers are taking up knitting, but perhaps we're seeing some changes out there.
I mean, certainly when we've talked to some people, the thing about farmers is they're normally fairly tired for them taking up a hobby at night anyway. But I mean, one of the things is to try and sleep well. You know, if you're not sleeping well, that has actually an impact on a lot of the things that you can do during the day. And farmers, I mean, it's almost like getting plenty of sunlight, which is a bit difficult in the winter, but also getting a bit of exercise that's non-farming. And whether that means just putting your headphones in and having a walk around the yard or walk around the farm, and it just having you taken away from the day-to-day life, you know, not to be looking to see if there's something needing done, but maybe just be looking at the stars and the moon and the sun rather than being distracted with that. So that activity and also doing something you enjoy. And if that turns out to be baking or cooking or learning something new, yeah, just again, taking your mind away from the day-to-day sort of pressures of work and life. And again, it's back to talking and eating well. But to be fair, farmers tend to be eating quite well anyway. But yeah, just to make sure your diet's of a high caliber. And if you can, cut out a bit of the alcohol and smoking and stuff, all the stuff that would normally make you healthier. And the body also can make you quite healthy, a bit healthier in the mind. And be sociable. Again, a bit like I was saying earlier, try and make contact with people and talk to people. And it doesn't have to be an hour's conversation. It can be a 10-minute chat. So think about the people that you know and, yeah, just take advantage of phoning up and just talking about your day.
So you've got me thinking there too that, you know, we're talking very much about the stereotypical farming role and position. And I've just joined the Women in Agriculture Association. And you know, the female role or the stereotypical female role, but not necessarily just that role, you know, looking after children at home, you know, things have very much changed in terms of that. And it's not just that farmer position on the farm that the person might be under pressure or stress, you know, the people who care in communities as well with older people in your farming base as well. Family base.
No, I absolutely appreciate that, and I think probably as women do tend to talk more, women do tend to have, even if it's people that they know through the children, you know, their children's friends, parents, so they tend to have more of an outlet, perhaps more so. But no, absolutely, women should be thinking about the eating, the having hobbies, although with two children and homeschooling, it's quite difficult to imagine where you find the time and doing something they enjoy.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think you've got to be a bit selfish. I think we've all to be a bit selfish and say, actually, no, that is my time. And if whether that's allocating a specific time between 7 and 8, where, you know, you're not going to be looking at your accounts, you're not going to be thinking about the animals or looking at the invoices, that's actually just going to be your time. And that can be one of the things to consider, is even things like mindfulness, you know, where you can get quite a lot of that online, where it's just actually taking you away from and just being in that moment without all the other stuff around it. So there's quite a lot, I think, with COVID that's come up that's available now that probably we wouldn't have considered before.
So take those moments to escape whichever route helps you through. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Yeah, it's different for different people.
Brilliant. And this was my final question, is where can people find support? What's the route to, if you want to reach out, speak to someone that's kind of separate from your life, you know, someone that you can just kind of offload a little bit, where can people look for that kind of help and what's out there?
Well, if you're looking for somebody to talk to, just give us a phone at RSCBI. It's 0300 111 4166. Not only can we have somebody to talk to, we have a range of volunteers, so you get a bit of a different crack now and then if that's what you prefer. We can call you back, whether it's weekly or monthly, until we get to the stage where COVID is no longer impacting our lives the way it is now. And if there's other things that you're struggling with that's stressful, again, we can look at solutions for that. But right now, you know, if you just need somebody to talk to and somebody to share your day with, please, please give us a phone.
That's great. Thank you very much, Mags. It's wonderful to hear that there's so much support and light, isn't it, out there, that, you know, people to help and people to talk to and never feel isolated and alone, irrespective of your surroundings and what's going on. So thank you very much. As you say, the phone line, if you need help, speak to us as well. HDVs, we're always kind of can channel through and speak to people. The phones are always open. So thank you very much for taking time out, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hoped you enjoyed this episode. We think it's important to raise awareness about mental health. If you need any support, please visit ahdb.org.uk/support-for-farmers, where you can find more information. On our website, you can also find more information about our strategic potato farm programme and the trials conducted on Jim's farm. Our next potato episode will be published on the 17th of February, and we'll discuss the opening of the potato ballot with Nicola Saffer and Alison Levitt.